I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We intuitively know music is powerful. A familiar song makes us feel safe. A calming rhythm can relax us before bed. Music therapists harness that power, using it to help people overcome mental and physical challenges, everything from anxiety to physical pain. Sessions involve singing, playing instruments, listening to and discussing music. This is particularly helpful for children who might need a little extra support. It's fun, engaging, helps them develop skills and to express themselves. But despite that, one of the biggest problems facing the service is letting people know it exists. Registered music therapist and clinical services manager at Raukatauri Music Therapy Trust, Rachel Foxall, is with us now. Kia ora, Rachel. Welcome.
Kia ora, Catherine. Thanks for having me.
It's one of the most basic and fundamental human connections. We sing lullabies in every culture. We rock our babies. In fact, even before they're born, it is a potent communications and comfort mechanism, yes?
Absolutely. Our brains and bodies are wired to respond really uniquely to music, right from, as you say, before birth.
How did you discover the power of music and what led you to become a music therapist?
I like to think my journey started as a young tamaiti as well. I have always loved singing, and from a young age my parents supported me to learn a number of musical instruments to varying degrees of success, but I eventually settled on the flute. And as my grandparents' generation, my great aunt and my grandmother got older, they were being looked after in a nursing home, my great aunt in particular, and she had really significant challenges after a number of strokes, and we used to go in, my sisters and I, and sing to her and play music in the nursing home, not just in her room, but also in the common areas. And just, I think for me, that was the first time I really saw how music could be a shared experience between musicians and people who don't necessarily have musical skill. And it just transformed the environment in the nursing home. So that was my first experience. And then when I was studying classical flute with Uwe Grodd at Auckland University way back when, I had the opportunity to be a teacher aide as a part-time job. And that was with a young boy who had an acquired brain injury at birth, and he had some physical and developmental challenges that were a result of that brain injury. And so I was working with him, not in a musical capacity, but as a teacher aide, helping him settle into his classroom and, access his education. But one of the things that really struck me was how engaged he was during the music and movement activities like jump jam, which is still going today. My children still do jump jam at school. And I thought, there is something here. I wonder if anyone's done anything about this. And as you say, Catherine, it's music therapy is not something that's widely known, and I didn't even know that it existed until I was at university. So instead of pursuing a music career, I changed tack completely and auditioned for a Master of Music Therapy program, which I then studied. And so that was my journey into music therapy.
I mean, the one person who has been front and centre of this and had a profile with it and done so much wonderful work is the co-founder of Raukatauri Music Therapy Trust and a former guest on 9 to Noon, Dame Hinawehi Mohi. Her efforts have been enormous and have had some profile. But as you say, many not knowing much more or even knowing that much. Give us a bit of insight into how music therapy itself works.
So there's so much to tell you that I'm not really sure where to start, but I will just say that, as we've said, music has this really unique capacity to impact on our brains and bodies, not just in a cognitive way, but also social and emotional as well. It has a deep impact on our nervous system, and so it's fundamentally an engaging, motivating, relational and safe activity. Music therapy itself harnesses those powers of music, the different elements of rhythm, melody, harmony, every aspect of music, but for a non-musical purpose. So it is about the healing and personal growth of people with identified physical, emotional, or intellectual or social needs. So we as music therapists are trained to use music in a way that will benefit the ongoing healing and personal growth of people with these identified needs.
Can we take some examples, perhaps, to illustrate how you might work? And obviously, needs can be very diverse. Some will be physical disabilities, intellectual disabilities, as you say, acquired brain injury, in the case of your of one of your early experiences. Others will be matters perhaps of anxiety or confidence. Some will be developmental delays. Some may be none of these things. There's such a huge suite of potential need. Could you give us some stories, perhaps, to show how for different needs or different circumstances music therapy can be used?
Yeah, I would love to do that. I think it's really important, as you say, that to point out that music therapy is used across the lifespan, so not just with children, although that is a big part of our work, particularly at the Rokitoti Music Therapy Trust, that is our original remit, to work with children with identified developmental disabilities. So as an example, I have a client there at the Rokitoti Music Therapy Trust. She is a young girl who's got significant medical challenges that have resulted in delayed meeting of her milestones. And then recently she's had a diagnosis of autism as well. So she's got some significant challenges with her communication. She doesn't use many words, and she has some challenges interacting with people, you know, with her peers and then also with other adults. So her mum and I met to talk about what music therapy might offer her. And her mum was concerned that because of all her medical interventions, she is, you know, can be really concerned about going into a room with a strange adult because she's had so many, you know, challenges in her life. But the change for her walking into a room in which I had all these instruments set up that were inviting and open, and she was just encouraged to make whatever music she wanted, whether that was strumming the guitar, tapping on the xylophone, playing the piano, singing in a loud voice, her whole face lit up and it was like everything changed. So for her, it was about the power of music to connect with someone in a really positive way. And then through that process, we're now doing things like action songs to help with her movement and coordination. We're doing familiar nursery rhymes to help her to learn new words and to use the words that she knows really confidently. And then also her mum comes in for part of the session, and we use that as like a social bonding and shared experience where we're all making music together. So that's one example. You know, on the other end of the spectrum, we have clients who have a brain injury or a neurological disability at their, you know, in their older life. So someone who's had a stroke or someone with Parkinson's. And so music can actually be a really targeted way to help them learn new skills or relearn skills or maintain their level of physical functioning. So particularly through the elements of rhythm, maintaining the ability to walk steadily is so empowering for people when they may be losing the ability to maintain their independence.
Could you give us another example, perhaps in a different situation, a different approach? And I know this is very potent throughout life, and particularly as you pointed out, perhaps with those with dementia issues later in life, we've covered that off. But it's the given it's sort of parenting and raising children and young people. Can we stick perhaps to those for now? What might be a different circumstance, and what would you do to adapt to a completely different kind of situation, life situation, or need? Rachel, pick another one.
Yeah, so another aspect of our work is working with young people who have experienced trauma in their lives. So that might be an unstable home environment or a number of things that they may have experienced. And so we tend to use really simple and we use really simple ways of using music. So familiar music, nursery rhymes, or things with a really steady beat. And as you say, we encourage this rocking, which can encourage neurobiological safety. So not just making music, but also letting the music itself calm you down and relax you. Also with adolescents who have met all the developmental milestones, but then in adolescence might experience a mental health challenge. So they might experience anxiety or depression. So they may come to us and want to explore songwriting or analysing lyrics of their own preferred music. So we'd really use that as a base, as a stepping stone to explore their emotional world and their social world and how they can navigate that more successfully, and give them tools through the use of music, which is really appropriate to that age, to be able to develop their independence and really step into their, their emotional world.
I think this relates exactly to a question that's just come in. Can you talk about how effective music therapy is for child developmental trauma?
Yeah. In terms of developmental trauma, does that I'm wondering if that means...
I've just Googled it, actually, just to see if it has a specific definition, and I think it is to do with some form of abuse, perhaps potentially, or neglect, or other trauma in childhood. Let me just... Yeah, developmental trauma, according to the Centre for Addiction and Mental Health, term used in literature to describe childhood trauma, such as chronic abuse, neglect, or other harsh adversity in their own homes.
Yeah, that is... Thank you for that question, and I really want to approach it sensitively because I expect that it means a lot to the person who's asked. So music, as you say, taps into experiences that we've had pre-trauma, so from our earliest experiences, even before our own memories, we experience the power of movement and rhythm, such as our mother's heartbeat when we're in hapu mama. That's a shared rhythm. And so that's why rhythm is such a powerful way of tapping into this feeling of safety in a really neurobiological way. So in music can be quite powerful for people who have developmental trauma, because it enables them to access in their nervous system the sense of safety. And that will usually be things like a steady beat, maybe some body percussion, like a gentle tap on knees, or if it's appropriate, just gently resting your hand on your heart and using that as a beat while you're singing. And obviously accessing your voice. So for young children, obviously they always have their voice with them. And there's something really powerful about being encouraged to sing and to use your voice when perhaps in your life you have been disempowered and not been able to speak up for yourself or the people that you love in these traumatic situations. So that's how a music therapist might approach working with a person with that particular challenge.
Just looking at, and forgive the last minute Googling and trying to get some decent sources, Psychology Today, I think we are on track. It's that, I think it's, according to this article, also known as reactive attachment disorder. So we're talking about that early attachment phase of life that's so pivotal, and if something has gone wrong there, I trust we are on track with that. But that actually also lines up with another commentator we speak with also frequently, Nathan Wallace, who will use, even with older children sometimes, the power of rocking and regular kind of rhythm to try and address what may have been missing during those sort of critical early years. Again, it's that power of rhythm that is so potent. How quickly can you see benefits in some of the examples that you've had here? And what's the kind of journey through a therapy, series of therapy sessions?
So we can actually often see an immediate benefit, an immediate result. So I'm thinking specifically of work I've done in early childhood centres where a child has been in complete red brain, as Nathan Wallace might say, like they're having a meltdown. There's, we can see screaming, we can see a complete inability to connect with anyone and an inability to be comforted. So by sitting and humming and tapping and gently offering, when the child is ready, some gentle pressure in a beat, like a squeeze and release, and we can see that start to take effect almost immediately in some cases. you know, it is really powerful. And so we have these immediate effects. And then obviously the more regularly we're able to do a session. So most music therapists would suggest like a weekly session in order to build on those instant benefits and create some sort of lasting benefit so that the child and their support people can access those tools at any time through the week, you know, and that's part of what the music therapist will often do is work with the child's support system to make sure that everyone has an understanding of how to use particular elements of music.
If they're coming to a place like Raukatauri, what's involved? They need a referral, and then also how much would it cost to have, you know, a sufficient number of sessions to make progress, Rachel?
That's a really great question, and actually, obviously, cost always comes into this. So music therapists all operate on a referral system, so you can refer through Raukatauri at rmtc.org.nz. We just have an online referral system, and we accept referrals from anyone. So you can self-refer. In the case of your child, you can refer them, their teacher can refer them, or their you know, a therapist who's working with them can also refer them to us. So it's open referral. At that point, we give you a call, and we talk about what needs that your child has, and then we arrange to sort of go through a series of questions that let us know how best we can support your family. I think it's also really important to say that music therapy is a strengths-based process. So even though we're going to be asking, you know, what milestones is your child not meeting, you know, and what you might need support with, we might also be asking, what are the strengths that your child shows? How do they express joy? What songs are their favourites? And that kind of thing. So we always really start with also a strengths-based approach. At that point... Oh, sorry.
Then finish your thought.
Oh, I was just going to say, at that point, you'd be matched with a therapist. And our recommendation is that you have a series of approximately 8 sessions. And that gives the therapist a chance to build a really strong relationship with the child. And it's through that relationship and through the music that the transformation will take place.
Part of the reason we're talking to you today is because World Music Therapy Week kicked off yesterday. And, you know, what are you hoping... people will sort of learn out of a bit of awareness at the moment? I think there's something like 100 registered music therapists throughout the country, and you know, again, is it giving people an idea of who it's for, and perhaps broadening their thinking of who it's for?
Yeah, I think, as you say, everybody knows that music is beneficial, but not many people would understand what a music therapist, a registered and trained music therapist, would actually do. So our hope with World Music Therapy Week is always to raise awareness so that the people who need our services hear about them, understand what it is that we offer. And then also one of the things that we really would like in Aotearoa New Zealand is to have more music therapists. And that means more musicians and, you know, qualified people that can go through the master's of music therapy training in order to register as music therapists, and also to encourage people that Aotearoa New Zealand is a beautiful place to live, and you may have trained and lived overseas and want to build a life here in Aotearoa, and we welcome that. So it's a combination of people who need our services and then also encouraging people to become registered music therapists.
Speaking more broadly, how can parents make the most of music? Obviously, we think of it as a bonding exercise within families, but can you give some advice for how it may assist or tips for how it may assist children more generally? Can we be a bit more strategic than let's just all sing along to the whatevers, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to give you an example from my real life because my children have the dubious benefit of having a music therapist for a parent. So one thing I did from when both of my children were very young is we had cue songs for every aspect of our routine. So we had a nappy change song, and I'd give them a little beat and I'd be like, let's change a nappy, dun 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 da 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 dun. And then, you know, they'd start to dance along, and instead of being like, don't take my nappy off, they'd be like, woohoo, a song. Or, you know, after a mealtime, it was wash your dirty face, rubber scrubbing, wash your dirty face. And so we just incorporate music as a transition between all the different parts of our routine that we needed. And then, you know, that also brings a little bit of joy and levity into some of those, you know, difficult things.
As always, the questions have come in very last, so I'm going to ask you to be as succinct as possible and perhaps to point the questioners where else they might learn more. Is there a particular genre of music that could be quietly used to calm children in the classroom situation?
gosh. Yeah, look, anything with a really steady beat. So I would not be encouraging things with lots of lyrics for children in a classroom. A calming song would be a familiar song or something with a really steady beat. Even just quiet classical music can be really helpful. Yeah.
Again, you might want to redirect this person to further resources. Is music therapy helpful for functional neurological disorder?
Absolutely. And I'd encourage you to go to musictherapy.org.nz, which is the website for Music Therapy New Zealand. And there's a heap of informational videos and blogs around where music therapy can help. And also to make a referral to Roka Todi, it's rmtc.org.nz.
Is it appropriate as part of the treatment plan for those recovering from eating disorders or anorexia?
Yes, music therapy has been shown through research to be helpful in that area. And yeah, I encourage you to seek out music therapy if that's something you're interested in.
Thank you, Rachel Foxhall, who is a registered music therapist and clinical services manager at Roka Todi Music Therapy Trust.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.